You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, God's Hope for Your Family. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
If you want to really divide a family in a very bitter way, then begin discussing how the real estate is going to be settled after mom and dad pass away, and how the inheritance is going to be divided. One professor from the University of Minnesota, a specialist on family social science, said that more anger and more bitterness results from division of family property than probably any other family situation. This professor also pointed out that the most common participants in this vicious battle are adults and not children. They fight over real estate. They argue over farms. They quibble over antiques, over the family Bible, over a piece of jewelry, over mom's set of dishes and silverware, over dad's watch, and even over collections of duck decoys. Also, this professor pointed out that even though some conflicts cannot be avoided, the one item that helps more than anything else to prevent these family fights is to make sure that every parent has drawn up a legally recognized will and that this will is not secret. The contents of the will ought to be known to the entire family before death occurs. Now, most, if not all of you listening today, have probably heard of families that have gotten along wonderfully until one or both of the parents pass on, and then it comes time to read the will. Then everything blows up. It is also at this time that the very worst of human nature immediately raises its ugly head. In-laws become outlaws. Sons and daughters claim items of family inheritance they never previously cherished. In-laws stick their noses into matters that are none of their business, and other sons and daughters who couldn't care less about their father or mother as the parents spent their last days in the rest home now suddenly hover above the family inheritance like vultures waiting to pick the bones clean. Now, perhaps you have been one of those stung or still hurting by family fights over inheritance, or perhaps you've been deeply injured over disagreements in your family over other matters. For this reason, it is absolutely essential, especially in these days when everybody is so self-centered, that we be reminded of that story recorded in the Bible in the Old Testament, which divided a well-known family. However, it is even more important to understand how this divisive crisis in family relations was lovingly resolved and restored. This Old Testament story involves Jacob and his sons. The Bible says that Jacob lived in Canaan. He had 12 sons. And because Jacob loved a younger son named Joseph, he gave Joseph a beautiful robe of bright colors. And this act made Joseph's brothers very envious. And Joseph also interpreted some dreams, which also upset his brothers. So one day, the Bible tells us, Joseph's older brothers were taking care of the animals in the field near Shechem. And it so happened that his father Jacob needed to send his sons a message. So Jacob sent his son Joseph, the one he loved, to deliver a message to his older sons 50 miles away. Now, the Bible explains that as soon as the envious older brothers saw Joseph arriving in the distance, they said, "Look, the dreamer is coming. Come, let's kill him. Let's throw his body into a pit. And then let us tell Jacob, our father, that some wild beast ate Joseph." Now, one of the brothers, the Bible explains, named Reuben, said, "No, let's not kill him. Let's simply throw him into a pit." Now, you see, Reuben thought that after his brothers had departed, he would simply lift Joseph out of the pit and take him back to his father. The envious brothers, of course, did not know what Reuben intended, so they agreed with Reuben. They threw Joseph into the empty pit. Joseph cried and cried and begged his brothers to save him, but they wouldn't listen. They calmly and callously sat down and ate their dinner, all the while Joseph was sobbing and pleading for mercy. Now, after a while, some travelers passed by. This was a camel caravan, driven by some traders, heading to Egypt to sell their spices. At this point, another brother named Judah arose and said, "Now listen, why don't we simply sell Joseph to these traders?" Of course, all the jealous brothers agreed, and so for 20 pieces of silver, they sold their own blood brother to these traders who took this helpless boy down to Egypt and sold him into slavery. And then, in order to cover up their sinful tracks, these jealous brothers took Joseph's coat of many colors, they dipped it into the blood of some goats, and then they sent it to their father. Oh, you can imagine. Yes, you can imagine their father was devastated. "This is my son's coat," he sobbed. "Some wild beasts have eaten him." His father wept for many days, and he could not be consoled. And so what happened to Joseph? Well, after the camel traders arrived in Egypt, they sold Joseph into slavery. And after many challenging years and harrowing experiences, Joseph ended up, imagine this, yes, imagine this, Joseph ended up being appointed by the king of Egypt to rule over the entire land of Egypt. What some intended for evil, God intended for good. So impressed was the king that he took from his own hand the ring which held his seal, and the king put this ring on Joseph's hand. The king then dressed Joseph in fine linen, and he put on a gold chain around his neck. The king also made Joseph to ride in a chariot with the same rank as his own. Of course, this amazing story is not over. In fact, as we say in drama, the plot is now beginning to thicken. Now, you see, about this time in history, all the lands around Egypt began to experience a terrible drought. It simply would not rain. No crops were raised, and the people ran out of anything to eat. And even Jacob and his 11 sons began to have nothing to eat. And so one day Jacob said that he had heard that there was grain in Egypt. So he told his sons to take some money and go down to Egypt and to buy some of that grain. And of course, when the brothers arrived in Egypt and came to the king's palace, they did not know that the man in charge was Joseph, their own blood brother, whom they had sold into slavery. Joseph, however, immediately recognized his brothers. However, after putting his brothers through a rigorous test, Joseph saw that his brothers were sorry for what they had done in the past, and so he gave them some grain and said to them they could go home. They could go home. There was, however, one condition. They would have to lead their youngest brother, Benjamin, back in Egypt. This was all part of Joseph's plan, which would cause his father unknowingly to have to come to Egypt also. Now, in all of this, Joseph finally told his brothers who he was. And they were frightened. They remembered how they had treated Joseph and how they had sold him into slavery. But Joseph, instead of getting angry, like so many family members do today, Joseph loved his brothers. Yes, he loved them and forgave them, even though they had done evil to him. And as I am sure you can see, this situation had the powerful and explosive and divisive potential as often exists when family real estate is settled. But thank God, yes, thank God that Joseph did what God wanted and not what he wanted. Joseph told his brothers not to fear him. You see, Joseph understood that it was God who had arranged for him to take care of his brothers and his family. And this is something that you and I need to understand also. When something happens in our family, you see, especially when we have disagreements in our own flesh, we may feel very righteous, especially in our anger toward our other family members. However, this is not what God wants. It is the will of God that you and I express forgiveness, especially to our brothers and sisters. Oh, may this powerful lesson of Joseph's kind and forgiving attitude, worked by our gracious God, pervade our hearts also. You see, when the devil seeks to plant envy and jealousy between us and our brothers and sisters, may our Lord and our God of grace rebuke the devil, and remove all the demons from our heart. And so today, if you are now estranged from a fellow family member, and if something has happened within recent days or weeks or months or even years that has separated you from the rest of your family, then listen to the word of the Lord as He speaks in the Bible in the book of Ephesians. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Instead, the Bible says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Jesus Christ has forgiven you. You see, my friend, God is not asking you to listen to His message today of forgiveness and then to go out and simply do nothing. As your heart experiences the forgiveness that God has so graciously shown to you, forgiveness that you do not deserve from God, then in turn, it is God's desire that His forgiveness would flow through you to other members of your family. Oh, my friend, begin today. Yes, begin today and let God use you as an instrument of healing in your family. Call up your brothers and sisters on the telephone and tell them that you need to talk. Don't delay, and do it today. Let me tell you why that you dare not delay. You see, several years ago, newspapers reported the death of two brothers in Dedham, Massachusetts. This is near Boston. And for 25 years, these two brothers fought bitterly. They spoke only twice in recent years, once when their mother died, and again at the funeral of their sister. Finally, however, can you believe this? Yes, can you believe that both men died in the same hospital, only 1 hour and 50 minutes apart, and they died? Yes, they died with sinful anger toward each other. In their heart, nothing was resolved. Oh, my friend, when differences arise between family members, the tension can become so difficult that often even our best and strongest intentions cannot break through the wall of demon-inspired division which the devil has erected. It is important at that point that you and I realize that it is only the power of Christ's Easter resurrection that can break down these divisions. And so, my friend, when you are locked in a family battle and when you are divided from those you had earlier loved, it is at this point. Yes, it is at this point that the devil has a steel grip on your throat. It is Satan who is causing your family to be divided, and on your own you will not be able to resolve these difficulties. Your only hope, yes, your only hope is to turn to the crucifixion cross of Jesus Christ. Regarding all your past family divisions and disagreements, cry out in prayer to the Lord, saying, let this all be finished. Yes, these are the words that Jesus Himself used when He shouted victory over the devil. You see, when Jesus was arraigned before Pontius Pilate, when our Savior was forced to carry His own cross up the hill of Calvary, and when the Roman soldiers hammered nails through His hands and His feet, it seemed as if Jesus was a loser. But shortly thereafter, as our Lord hung between two convicted criminals, in victory Jesus cried out, "It is finished!" And at that very moment, the battle between Jesus and the devil had come to a climax. And through His death on the cross, Jesus defeated the power of the devil and stated publicly that the battle was over. And now Jesus wants to enable you. Yes, He wants to enable you through His gift of repentance and faith to say also, privately and publicly, that your family battles are also over. Enabled by Jesus Christ, cry out today, it is finished. The sin-cleansing blood of Jesus is the only source of certain healing. Jesus' blood is the only healing balm that you have to comfort the scars and the hurts that you have experienced in family difficulties and disagreements. And this is also why the Apostle Paul admonishes all of us to forgive one another just as God in Jesus Christ has forgiven each one of us. Secular counselors may indeed help you, but they do not have the ultimate answer. Tranquilizers may enable us to face a family situation short term, but they cannot equip us for the final battle. It is only the sin-cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cruel cross of Calvary, that has the power to heal family divisions and hurts. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, every time we have disagreements in our family, enable us, as you did with Joseph, to love even those who have offended or hurt us. And especially, O Lord, when we are blinded by anger toward brothers or sisters, then open our eyes and enable us to see the crucifixion cross upon which your Son died in order to pay for our family sins of anger, jealousy, and other petty sins. O Lord, heal us and move all who are listening today to not only hear your word of forgiveness, but to act upon this good news and to forgive other members of their family. Move other people, O Lord, at this moment to go to the telephone and to call family members and to say, we have to talk. God has forgiven me, and I want to forgive you also. In Jesus' name, it is finished. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.